Alrighty, well, hey there, everybody. John here with Crypto Top 10, back to give you another little thing on the trending articles in the crypto news space. Things are quite interesting right now. I love it. We've got some what I would consider to be consolidation, though a lot of people would call this a dip or maybe a bull market running out of steam. I think it's but a stepping stone. We consolidate, we regroup, and then we push on and up. Ethereum is doing quite awesome. I think it chalked up another new all-time high sometime late last night. Bitcoin, for all of you people who are like, no, it is still 10 times the price of what it was in March of 2020 after the COVID crash. So I'm pretty happy with how everything's going. But as always, thanks to everyone who has subscribed. That little button right there. Yeah, that one. You can just click on it if you want to hear more from me for every now and then. But let's hop on into things. First things first, VeChain is going to be helping to secure Puff Bar. Vapors. Gotta love it. Leading U.S. vape company Puff Bar is turning to blockchain tech to fight the vast number of product counterfeits in the market. They announced recently they would implement VeChain's blockchain to allow its customers to verify their products. The company was one of the fastest rising in the vape sector since its establishment back in ye olde 2019. However, in July of 2020, the FDA ordered it to remove all its products from the United States markets. The regulator claimed that Puff Bars never got permission to sell products in the United States. And additionally, its products were illegally appealing to children by mimicking the packaging of sweets and cereals. That has been a big gripe in the vaping community. I know vaping got really popular with all the teens for a hot second a couple years ago. So I can definitely see how they're clamping down on this. Don't need kids smoking that. Really, you don't want adults smoking it either, but what can you do? Since it took its products off the market, counterfeits have shot up rapidly. If you believe some media reports, counterfeit products account for 95% of all the Puff Bar products on the market. This one hurts the company, boo-hoo, and even more significantly, it can have adverse health effects for the users, aside of the normal ones, because some of the counterfeit's products use harmful substances. So they're implementing this VeChain blockchain solution. Basically, a consumer will click on verify product on the company's website. It'll automatically open the camera on the phone where the consumer can take a picture of the product. Within 5 seconds, the technology is able to pick up the micro imperfections on the sticker that can't be seen by the naked eye. And this will verify whether or not the product is authentic. Pretty freaking cool, quite honestly. Not only are they using blockchain, but they're making it easy to use. And this is the type of thing that drives true adoption. It's when it fades in the background and you don't even realize it's there. Kind of like smartphones, when that Apple launched that complete touchscreen. Woo! Man, I know there were a lot of people out of there who were like, I need a physical keyboard. And here we are in 2021. And if a phone has a physical keyboard, we question it. It's quite interesting the way things change. I'm really happy that they're doing this. I think this is going to do more for the implementation. Simply, you open up a phone, you open up an app, you take a picture, and then that app can tell you whether or not you got a real product or a counterfeit. Once they're able to do this with, like, trading cards, woo, man, that'd be great. Also, on top of that, they're going to be implementing Ethereum and Bitcoin Cash payments, so you can actually buy your Puff Bar products with Ethereum or Bitcoin Cash. Why not VeChain? Well, Coinbase is going to be their payments partner, and they don't currently support it. So hopefully in the future, I'm assuming as soon as Coinbase does, which I imagine may happen in the next year or two, you'll be able to buy Puff Bars with VeChain. So pretty darn cool. I really like it. VeChain is just making all the right moves, and they have been for some time. The price doesn't reflect it in the sense that it's not going absolutely insane, but they are positioning themselves to be around for the long term. And that makes them a good buy, in my opinion. Q4 Keep in mind, I'm some dude in his basement, so take whatever I say with a huge grain of salt. And just for full disclosure, I don't own any VeChain. Moving on over, Aave just hit a record high. It has been on a tear for the past couple weeks, peaking at $288.90. The DeFi protocol is one of the most popular on the market. I believe it is number two behind Maker. At the start of 2021, Aave was trading at $83, so you can see how it's over 3x'd in just the past 3 or 4 weeks. The recent rally appears to have bolstered the product's surging TVL, or total value locked, increasing buy volume on spot and derivatives exchanges, and the continued development of Aave's lending platform and flash loan issuance. Currently, their TVL is sitting at a new all-time high of $3.75 billion. Pennies. Making it the second largest behind Maker. As Aave's price reaches this new high, its 24-hour trading volume notched a record, $1.06 billion, so it's getting a lot of use. The volume surge is partially driven by investors who are acquiring more tokens for staking. That's right, you can actually stake your Aave tokens on the protocol to help secure it and earn a cool APY of 6.1%. Not insane, but pretty darn good. I do have a small amount of Aave. I'm currently staking it on their platform. They make it pretty easy to do. I was able to figure it out, and I'm relatively new at all that. So I'm quite happy with it. So that ease of use is probably a contributing factor. I'm glad they're starting to become that way, because I want to participate in these things more, but I'm not a computer programmer, and neither are most of you listening. So it's good that we're making it easier. Another reason for Aave's recent surge on top of all that would be the growth of its flash loans. For those of you who don't know, these allow crypto holders to collateralize their portfolio to fund other purchases or new crypto purchases. The loans also help investors utilize the value in their tokens without the need to sell them, which would create a taxable event. So it enables a way for you to legally move your assets around without having to pay taxes. It's quite nice. Data from Messari is showing that Aave issued $25 million in loans in the first half of 2020, $500 million in Q3, and nearly $1 billion in Q4. So as that flash loan usage continues to increase and more people pull coins off for staking, I expect Aave to do pretty well. I think a $1,000 Aave is a realistic expectation, and it's one personally I'm hoping for. Again, not gonna make me rich enough to not do these videos, but it will make me a very happy man. So there we go. Hopping on over. This is a little bit more speculative, but we'll run with it. A wildly followed crypto trader. His name's Kaleo, and he's got an audience of 50,000 viewers. So wildly, I think that's a little generous, but he does have a decent following. He's saying that Avalanche, or AVAX, is gearing up to triple its value against Bitcoin. He predicts that the coin is positioning to catapult from its current price of looks like 0.4 of a Bitcoin to a new all-time high of 0.12 of a Bitcoin. It's a nice little triple. Kaleo is looking at the AVAX USD pairing as he expects it to surge 36% in the coming days from $12.80 to $17.50. I could see that. Avalanche, or AVAX, is an open source platform that enables users to create decentralized and interoperable blockchains according to their requirements. The protocol aims to create a comprehensive ecosystem that bridges all blockchain platforms, which is a pretty altruistic goal. I like it. Avalanche users rely on AVAX to pay for transactions in the network. It's hard capped at 720 million tokens. So it's a quote-unquote scarce asset, just like all the other cryptos are. In the long term, Kaleo believes that Avalanche will become one of the most valuable crypto assets on the market, calling for it to be in the top 10, which I actually agree with. I've been following Ava Axen, one of its lead developers, I believe it's Emil Gunzer. He's a professor out of Cornell. They've been developing this for years. It's currently the 42nd largest coin by market cap if you go by CoinGecko. I think CoinMarketCap has it a pretty similar spot. This is definitely one to watch. I don't own any. I've been debating about dipping my toe into it. Me personally, and I know a lot of people will tell me that I shouldn't do this, but I don't like to buy a lot of coins in the middle of a bull market. I kind of like to watch and see where my positions go. And then if there's any significant dips or crashes, like over 10 or 15% within a 24-hour period, that's when I'll go in and pick up things in what I feel is a discounted sale. Because at the very least, it's going to bounce up 5 to 6% as a recovery. That's my personal thing, and dear Lord, it does not work every time. So do whatever you think you can do and are comfortable with. But AvaX, definitely something to watch. But let's hop on over. Cardano and Emergo working together during the Ergo Summit held on Saturday. Emergo announced Age USD, which will be the first stable coin on the Cardano blockchain. It's going to follow a novel algorithmic design developed on the Ergo blockchain in a joint partnership between the Ergo Foundation, Emergo, and Charles Hoskinson's Input Output Global, the parent company of Input Output Hong Kong. Romain Pellerin, CTO at IOHK, tweeted that AgeUSD will be available on the Cardano blockchain once smart contracts functionality are enabled on the mainnet with Plutus, which we should ideally be getting sometime in the first half of 2021. Unlike Ethereum-based crypto-backed stablecoins such as DAI, Emergo introduces a stablecoin protocol inspired by design that does not rely on collateralized debt positions, or CDPs. The reason for this is the vulnerability of CDP-based protocols in terms of high volatility and blockchain congestion. Emergo referenced quote-unquote Black Thursday, when MakerDAO CDPs were triggered for liquidation due to volatility and then sold for $0 due to blockchain congestion that prevented others from bidding, which to then demonstrates that a new design is needed, hence this algorithmic design for AgeUSD. There are two types of parties interacting with the protocol, reserve providers and AgeUSD users. The first will pay ERGs, or Ergo's native currency, into the dApp's reserves, thereby minting reserve coins. Users of the protocol can also pay ERGs into the dApp reserves, but create AgeUSD instead. This is allowed by the protocol only if there are enough reserves above the reserve ratio in the dApp. Users can redeem AgeUSD for ERGs from reserve at any time. So basically, you can put this in, it'll give you a stablecoin, and then you can get your money back. It'll be interesting to see how it works in practice. I'm not sold on this yet, but I do agree that the current way most stablecoins are going with have some flaws. So if this can do it a little bit better, I mean, why not? Right? That's the point of all this. Experiment, experiment, experiment. All right, let's hop on over to the next thing. All righty. So, mining Bitcoin. Just a little update. Bitcoin's mining difficulty level has reached record highs over the past weekend, making it very difficult to mine. It's the second time during the month that the difficulty has risen, and its hash rate is at pretty impressive levels, despite a slight drop from its highs earlier in the month, which kind of makes sense. Difficulty for mining is a relative measure of the amount of computational resources required to mine Bitcoin. This value either increases or decreases after every 2016 blocks, or about 14 days. The latest Bitcoin mining difficulty increase came amid reports of China-based miners facing setbacks caused by a global lack of mining chips. For those of you who don't know, China is an absolute powerhouse when it comes to mining Bitcoin. They mine a large, large portion of it, probably close to the majority of it. Now that is spread out across multiple different firms and manufacturers. So while it's not one entity that controls all this, it is all based in one country. So yeah, these unprecedented prices for mining equipment don't seem to be holding people back from buying. The demand for crypto is pretty high still, so miners are willing to pay a premium for picking up even more machines. Some are taking out loans to do so, which says they're pretty confident in where Bitcoin is going. I will talk about in the next article as well. Grayscale has kind of dipped a little bit. Their inflows for Bitcoin were down almost 22%. So there is some signs that Bitcoin is maybe not gearing up to move back to 40K in the quote-unquote near future, which really is a relative term if you ask me. In crypto, the near future can mean the next week, the next day, or the next month. Things move rather quickly, and you don't know how things are going to change day to day, sometimes hour to hour. But that being said, people taking out these loans, putting in this money, says to me that long term they know they're going to be good. So if they feel they can put up, they're going to put up. Moving on over, talk about Ethereum a little bit and Bitcoin, as I did reference. So the Ethereum rally that took it to new all-time highs has been fueled by DeFi. But what if there was a simpler way to use Bitcoin and DeFi too? So yeah, if we could do that, the yield opportunity would lead to more demand, more institutional levels of capital, and present potentially even more highs. Ethereum reached an all-time high because of demand to use it as collateral in DeFi, while Bitcoin reached an all-time high because of demand from new large investors. I would argue that Ethereum now, it's much easier to get Ethereum to have demand from new large investors than it is for Bitcoin to get new demand related to DeFi. That's my personal opinion. The assets currently have different use cases, but the Ethereum's experience is also relevant as it raises the question of what could happen if Bitcoin could be more easily used in DeFi. They're suggesting future competition between the two biggest projects in the crypto space. I know darn well that Wrapped Bitcoin exists currently for this exact purpose, but its adoption's been pretty low so far, so there's a gap in the market for institutional DeFi. I would argue, again, you go, oh, I can buy Bitcoin. Well, I'm rich. I don't want to actually own Bitcoin, so I'll buy Ethereum Grayscale's trusts, their premiums, and all that stuff. Well, it's much easier to do that for Ethereum, which Grayscale has an Ethereum trust, than it is to figure out how to implement for large-scale investors like that Bitcoin and DeFi. I'm sure it can be done, but there's a reason why it hasn't exploded just yet, because someone hasn't really solved that puzzle. Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust, as I did say, dropped over 15% in the last week, resulting in their premium to its underlying holdings dropping to 2.8%, which is the lowest it's been since March of 2017. JP Morgan strategists have cited Bloomberg that it slid 22% over the past 2 weeks, and while the pace of flows into the trust appears to have peaked based on 4-week rolling averages, the institutional flow impulse behind the trust is not strong enough at this moment for Bitcoin to break out above 40K USD. But the risk is that momentum traders will continue to unwind Bitcoin futures positions. I get it. It dropped 15%, but they're still adding so much. Like, the trust grew by an additional 13,390 Bitcoin. Like, it's still really massively buying up Bitcoin. So I would not count this out anytime soon, but I do agree that Ethereum is getting a nice boost from DeFi as well as Phase Zero. Once they implement the EIP 1554 protocol, and that takes that, and Phase One, I mean, I can see Ethereum having quite the run. I'm really excited for it. Moving on to the last article, more of an interesting thing. So Cardano founder Charles Hoskinson believes that there's only one person that fits the profile for Satoshi Nakamoto. He did an AMA session on YouTube, and he revealed he's narrowed down his search to the one person he believes is the only individual who can fit the part. Pretty interesting. It doesn't actually really change anything, even if we figured out exactly who he is. But Hoskinson says, and I quote, "I've been very vocal lately on this. I think that first, it doesn't matter, but second, it's probably Adam Back. If you look at the preponderance of evidence, Occam's razor applies, and the most likely answer usually is. There's no mystique or magic there, but he just fits the profile. You're looking for someone who's in their 40s to 50s, who created Bitcoin in 2008. And that fits Adam's age range. English education, grammar, all that stuff, the right computer science background, exactly the right credentials you'd look for. You probably can get pretty far with code stylometry towards validating that." Adam Back is the co-founder and chief executive of blockchain technology company Blockstream. He's also a longtime Cypherpunks member and is referenced in the Bitcoin white paper. But even if there is great evidence that it was him, because Satoshi's become an icon, it's physically impossible for anyone to quote-unquote be Satoshi. Because a clique of people would also disagree with that and say, no, 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 he's an imposter, or she's an imposter. So Satoshi's become effectively untouchable at this point. No one can become that person, but real life, probably Adam Back. I do agree with Charles if you operate on the assumption that Satoshi Nakamoto is one singular person and not a collection of individuals. Personally, I think the person who posted under the name Satoshi Nakamoto could have very well have been Adam Black, based on his knowledge, his age, and all that other stuff that Charles cites. However, he might have just been the one talking and posting, whereas it was a small group of people who were actively developing Bitcoin and early blockchain technology. That's just my opinion. You can, you know, believe it, not believe it, believe him, think it's that other guy whose name I won't mention. We'll never know for sure. But that will do it for the trending articles in the crypto news space. As always, my name is John. This has been Crypto Top 10. Before we get into the end, let's take a look at all the coins. Oh yeah, top 10 by market cap. Bitcoin's getting pretty close to 35K, 34,733. Ethereum's up above 1,400 again. Long may it stay there. Polkadot's $18. XRP, still number 5. Cardano, 36 cents. Chainlink doing pretty darn well. And Binance Coin popped back into number 10, outplacing Stellar Lumens. We'll see how long that lasts. They seem to be going back and forth a little bit. But all in all, it's a pretty healthy and green day. Biggest winner on the day is Elrond, up 28% on the day and 20% on the week. Its chart looks pretty vertical right now. Good for them. Biggest loser is Thorchain. It's down 7%, though it is up 20% on the week, so you win some, you lose some. It's not that bad. But that will do it. Thank you to everyone who's subscribed, especially if you've made it to this point. You are the true OGs, and I appreciate you very, very much. If you've made it to this point and you're not subscribed, well, you should probably just hit that little button, so that way you can hear from me a bit more often. I try to post regularly, but I've got a small child and a hectic job and, you know, just the world in general right now. So I'll do what I get to do when I get to do it. Peace.